And hello, good people of the internet. It is I, Tommy Kelly, and this is Adventures from Woo Woo. We are once again in a forest. No shock there. The wind is it's quite high, but it's not breezy, so it shouldn't affect the mic so much. Just might be a background. And over there is the motorway that you just can't get away from. You just can't get away from here in Ireland, particularly in the northeast. Anyway, what we're doing this time is the monthly question and answer video, where patrons get to ask me questions and I get to answer them in somewhat, hopefully, a respectable or a useful manner. But the patrons were quite quiet this month, so I opened it up into the Discord people as well. So we got a number of questions. So let's just get straight into it. Ghost Pubes, what an amazing name. Do you think you'd be a professional guitar player if you had found Chaos Magic sooner? No, I don't think I would be. I think by the time I got into Chaos Magic was the right time, and I probably wouldn't have got into it at all had I been still following the kind of music track. Now, there is an overlap, and there is time where I was into Chaos Magic and still doing music. And one of the albums I did, or an EP I did, which I give away as part of the Corona Bundle, was done when I was into Chaos Magic, and it bombed. No matter what magic I did around it, like, no one cared at all. No, I don't think I would be, and quite thankful in many ways that I wasn't. Another question from Ghost Pubes. How do I best exercise to explore my shadow in a way that is healthy and does not feed or negatively influence others? Well, your shadow's already feeding negatively affecting others. So by working on it, it might seem like it's getting worse, but it's just that you're shining a light on it and you're making it more pronounced, and it's coming up more to the surface. Shadow work's tough. Like, go to therapy. I did that. Try some of the binding stuff from Alan Chapman's Murgia. Read some Jung. Just work on it. Did all that. There's loads of personal development stuff. But it's going to come out. Like, I mean, there's no kind of, shadow work's not, you can't find an easy way to do shadow work. The reason why it's hard is because it's hard and it's difficult, and it does come out into your life and it does wreck your relationships and it does wreck your inner world. And, you have to start really looking at it. And when you look at it, it's horrible. Because you realise what you're doing or what you've allowed to be done to you and all of these things. So I don't think there's any way around the hard work of shadow work or the nastiness or whatever. But I mean, at the same time, you don't have to do it all in one day. Take it easy. Take, baby steps, do different bits until, you're able to do the bigger bits. But good luck with that. It's definitely worth pursuing. Absolutely. And the final question from Ghost Pubes are, what are ghosts? I have no idea. I don't even know if I hear the wind picking up, so I'm sure that's going to be affecting the sound as usual. I have no idea if ghosts even exist. Could be, remnants of some sort of, any kind of Rupert Sheldrake thing of a morph, of a habit of something that occurs over and over again. Could be dead people. I really no idea. I'm who knows? Like, some people say they're spirits, some people say they're, figments of our imagination. More than likely, 99% of what we have interacted with ghosts are figments of our imagination. So most ghosts are nothing. So, Luando Love. I've recently been thinking of trying to do spells from the Necronomicon, and I remember you really recommending it. How exactly did you work with it, and what did you manifest? What advice do you have for beginners? The Necronomicon, this is the Simon Necronomicon, or the Simonomicon, as it's known in some circles. I didn't do the gatewalking, or I didn't do any of those things, the initiations. I didn't call up the Watcher in the way prescribed in it. I just did the 50 Names of Marduk, which you can get as the Necronomicon spellbook. It's a completely separate thing, and it's just literally you light a candle, you say a prayer, and you call up the name that it seems most relevant to whatever problem you want, and then you ask for help, and then in my case, I had an awful lot of time. I got what I wanted. It was mostly around money I was doing it at the time, and I got money stuff coming through. But that led very much into that kind of system, and that kind of the ease of that was an influence in the 47. So I've moved away from using the Necronomicon and used the 47s, because I took all the bits that I liked from the Necronomicon and put it into the 47s. But if you want to get into that stuff, I would advise you to get the spellbook, keep it as simple as possible, and try it out, and see what happens. Ciao Asiato, I think. I'm terrible at pronouncing names. That's just what it is. care to share any personal experiences with the conductor? Well, the conductor is all about taking the reins of your own life and being in control of it, rather than kind of leaving it to destiny or to fate or to other people. Or it's about putting yourself out into the world rather than being just a reaction to the world, rather than just letting things happen and you reacting to them. So I do take that as times when I need to do that, but I also know there's times when I need not to do that, and I need to be kind of led, because that's kind of old thing of or that idea. It's not really an old idea, it's just an idea that like, who am I to know what's the best for me from my vantage point and my limited scope and my limiting beliefs and my faults and my, you know, all the things about me, whereas my higher self might have a better idea of what's going on. So sometimes you have to surrender to that. Sometimes you definitely have to take grips on the reins of the world and be your own conductor and stuff like that. Personal experiences, nothing that comes to mind, no big thing that would make a good story or anything, but just along that, if I somehow needed to take control of my life in some way, and that I felt that was getting a bit out of control or getting a bit, I don't know, more about other people or something like that, then I would invoke the conductor and just be aware of that energy and that archetype. So this is from Anonymous. Why is so much of magic about summoning demons quite casually, when even when the masters like Crowley, demons cause damage and troubles to them? How about novices relying on some simple instructions from book? There is white and black magic. Is there? Symbolism and intent are key in magic, and the long tradition making clear difference between angels and demons, good and evil spirits. How is the good-evil distinction so easily dismissed with Gwaisha? I don't work with the Gwaisha at all. I've done it once or twice, and it was literally just with Boone, again, for money. Well, I was going through a hard time money-wise at one stage. I think it was Ziku, actually, in the 50 names of Marduk. That's the whole thing, and it's the thing I've had with Satanism as well, and this kind of left-hand path stuff. When you change the names of all the bad guys and pretend that they're good, or see them as good, or see, you know, Lucifer as the savior or the light bringer, you negate the kind of archetype of bad, you know, of evil, and you're left and everything is good, man. And it's very kind of a new agey type of a deal where, you know, it's all light and love. Even Satan's the good guy, you know. So I do understand. I don't work with demons. I've no interest in working with demons. I also know that the name originally comes from demons, which is your kind of like your higher self, your helper, your HGA, you know, all that kind of stuff as well. And they've literally been demonized. But I don't work with angels for the same reasons, because they definitely don't seem to have your interest at heart either. Going by anyone who's worked with them seem to get fucked. So, I understand your question, but I can't answer it because I agree with you. Because I think, yeah, I don't think you should mess around with that stuff. Well, do whatever you want. Like, who might say? I don't mess around with that stuff. I have enough of my own demons, internal demons, than to be evoking or calling up some sort of archetypical demons, or angels for that matter. Why is it done like that? I think it's done like that because people don't like the idea of evil and don't like the idea of bad things, and kind of want to be seen that everything is good, everything is nice, that the world is secretly behind it all, even though it looks ostensibly cruel and terrible, but it's really nice, and all the bad guys are really good guys, and we're all, at the end of the day, all going to hug and go, oh, that was a great game we all played, which completely destroys, and again negates one of my favourite words, it seems, cruelty that we do to ourselves, that Mother Nature does. Well, from our perspective it's cruel, but it's just doesn't care, you know, there's no kind of nourishment or whatever, it's to use the word again, it's negation of all things bad and evil and cruel and terrible, because we don't want to face it. So it's shadow work stuff, I assume. My opinion, loads of people work with Gwaisha and don't have that kind of outlook at all. See demons as literally just the Catholic Church or the Christian Church. Don't like these particular spirits, but like these other spirits. And, you know, because they empowered people rather than disempowered people. And, you know, Christianity, it seems, was all about disempowering people. So, I don't know. Biro. Is it possible to remove your chakras through meditation, and is it safe? And will doing so increase magical abilities? Thanks. Why would you want to remotely remove your chakras? I really don't understand. I mean, I've never heard that before. I've heard obviously unblocking your chakras, or kind of, you know, doing some sort of clearing or something like that, but removing them, why would you want to remove them? Given, you know, with the presupposition in there that you have chakras in the first place, because I don't know, I've only ever felt my heart and some of my throat, you know, sensations around there that, you know, other people have described similar things as the chakras. Sometimes you get, you know, the root chakra as well, but I'm not convinced in chakras. So, I don't know, if you're convinced in chakras, then work with them rather than trying to remove them if there's something. I think I would need you to discuss it a bit more about what you mean by that. Why would you want to remove them? Where did you find the idea of removing them being a good thing? Do you see them as like, in some way, imprisoning you or something? It's like, I don't know, it's like some go, if I remove my hand or if I remove my eye, would I have much better magical ability? Doubt it, you know, but it worked for Odin, so am I to say. So, yeah, don't try removing your chakras, though, seriously. Falcon Buttmelt, how, when did you first learn about Alan Chapman? I first learned about Alan Chapman after the Grant Morrison Disinfo lecture that I seen, and I did a Google search for Chaos Magic, and I came across Gordon White and the Baptist Head. And I gravitated more to Gordon White at the time because his website was easier to read and navigate, where the Baptist Head stuff seemed more that you needed to sit down and, you know, read it. So when they came out as books, it was much, much easier to assimilate all the stuff that they were talking about than trying to read blogs and stuff like that. But, you know, I did try to read some of the blogs, and I was aware of it, the podcasts and all that kind of stuff. How I actually got to talk to him is an interesting enough story. There was all of this, you know, keck and all this kind of meme magic that was going on. And I said, well, Alan Chapman was in his kind of silent time where he wasn't really talking to anyone for a couple of years. Had no websites, no nothing. He was coming up with what became Fountainhead, then Wiser. And he was working on that. So I decided that I would try in some way to get in contact with him just because I wanted to ask him some questions and things like that. But there was no email. His old emails were bouncing back. His old Twitter, all of that kind of stuff. So I made a meme with about his steps, the magic steps from Advanced Magic for Beginners, put his picture on it and put my website on it with the intention of, one, making a cool meme that people might like, but also trying to get Alan Chapman or some sort of contact between us. But a week later, he emails me saying he wants me to do some artwork for his website. He buys some Crowley artwork off me that I had done, and then, you know, I've been speaking to him for the last number of years and stuff, and I've been really getting into his stuff. So yeah, I memed Alan Chapman into my life. Sir Echo, do you regret making the 40 Servants? The answer to this is yes, I do sometimes. As the wind picks up and it's all very ominous. What I regret about it is when I see some people putting so much faith into it, or, you know, thinking that they're more than what they are. That thing I talked about before where the guy said the fixer wanted to remove his eye as an offering. And I just kind of feel I don't want to be responsible for people in that way. So I don't want to add to the bullshit. I've made a whole video about don't add to the bullshit, and I don't want to add to the bullshit that's already goes on around magic and, you know, people's like conspiratorial views in life and all that. I want people to be, you know, I don't want to add to the bullshit. And I think it's very easy you could with something like the 40 Servants, where I see it them as like kind of ideas, archetypes, things that you can use. Some people see them as spirits and actual things, and I don't want to be responsible for that, for the kind of a negative thing that may come out of that, or some sort of foolishness that people have done. And the reason why I don't want to be responsible is because I know no more about how this world works than anyone else. I have no secret privy, or not privy to any secret information, or I don't, you know, I don't know what happens when we die. I don't know if magic even exists. Other than I go with the thing of that, acting as if it's true, and for a lot of time gives me the effects that I want in my life. But whether it is true or not is very different. So I don't want people to kind of put all their hopes in something like that when I don't know myself. You know, when like it's adventures and woo-woo. It's not, I know everything, I'm a teacher. It's, you know, here, come and listen to my wisdom. It's like, I don't have a clue what I'm talking about most of the time. I'm fairly well read on the subject, but it's... I still know better or they're still no wiser in the sense of, again, as I've said, I'm not invincible in the way Gordon White talks about it. I'm not awakened. I have not enlightened. None of these things. I don't have a higher perspective than anyone else. So that sometimes makes me feel that I wish I hadn't done the 40 servants. Or there's also kind of, I suppose, there's a thing I often think about. You know that woman, can't remember her name, who did all the angel books and then she became a Christian and she kind of felt like that, you know, she kind of shunned all her things. Sometimes I feel a bit like that, in that you feel a bit trapped in that and go, well, sometimes, see, like, sometimes I'm not into magic. Sometimes I'm not into chaos magic and I'm a bit more into that. And I kind of feel that I'm stuck in that because I've created this thing that I kind of have to stay on that, in that area or something, and I can find that a bit limiting. So I tend not to act on that though, and kind of see the 40 servants as there, that's a thing that they just are out there, and, you know, somewhat connected, but don't, you know, it doesn't have to limit my spiritual journey or dictate my spiritual journey. And if I don't want to use the 40 servants, I'm not bound to, because being their creator, that I can, you know, that I don't. And I found myself, I was limiting myself and my kind of areas that I was looking into because of that. But mostly, 99% of the time, I absolutely don't regret creating the 40 servants. Changed my life massively for the positive in so many ways, financially, spiritually, emotionally, socially, all of the things. But yeah, and it just, it does sometimes when you know, you have a day where you just think magic's all bullshit or whatever, as I do, and I kind of feel that you're kind of being a bit disingenuous to people when they're, you know, full on into the magic thing in the 40 servants, and you're kind of going, well, I don't know what to say to you today because I don't believe any of it. But, you know, ask me next week. I'll have a different perspective of it. And I can understand people creating something and then having to spend the rest of their life kind of lying about it, in a sense, because to get financially embedded in it, or, you know, they need it. So, like, say you have a teaching, I don't know, say you pretended for some reason that, you know, you channeled the god Ra, and that caught on, and then after a while you go, well, I don't want to do this, this was a lie, but now, you know, I can make loads of money from doing it, so I kind of have to. And I'm not saying it's quite like that with me, but I can kind of understand the trajectory of that, or how that would happen. Like, say I really thought that, I don't know, I got really into being a, you know, Christian or Catholic or something again, and I felt that the 40 servants were evil, but there would be this kind of horribleness where I'm going, but I make loads of money from it. Not that I make loads of money from it, but I make all right money from it. You know, but you'd be stuck in that kind of financial commitment of it or something. Anyway, wildly off the the topic. George Sulier, how are you and the family? We're good. The preschool opened again, and that was very stressful for numerous different things, from different regulations and having to split up classes because of, you know, the amount of people you're allowed, and then there's, you know, having to hire people. Ah! It was very, 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 very stressful. More for Vanessa, obviously, than me, because it's her business, but it's, you know, still had that knock-on effect. And I'm in the middle of doing my tax, which is always stressful. So, but in general, yeah, wee man's doing great. He's talking away, running around, being the boss of all things, so all's good. Matthew Bende, I have two questions. One, how's working with Pan going for you? Any tips? I'm not working with Pan. Pan is working with me, and I have very little kind of instigation involved in that. He arrived, he had some stuff to say, and definitely the music thing. I came back to the Magia stuff as well, which I assume is part of him. There seems to be a lot of things returning that I had kind of pushed away for various reasons. Yeah, I'm not really sure what's the best way to, any advice. Go hang out in the forest and just, you know, look just to see, and see, you know, and see what, rather than trying to find, because I used to go to forests and kind of go, come on, you know, come on, horn god, reveal yourself, missing, you know, the wood for the trees, essentially, that the horn god is the forest, and that kind of thing. So, yeah, I think with any of these things, I definitely forced to try and have a relationship with, say, St. Cyprian, and that went nowhere. So I think you kind of have to, I think there's an element of they choose you more than you choose them. But again, I don't know sometimes where it's going, because there was a lot of Ganesha sinks, a lot of that was coming up, and I've tried to engage with it, and I was Trying to find out what it was, and it seemed to fizzle out and didn't go anywhere. So I don't know, unless I just didn't understand what was going on. I don't know. No real advice here other than hang out in the forest, which is generally good advice anyway. We talked about Daniel Ingram's book the other day. What are your experiences with it and thoughts on Buddhism in general? I feel that at some stage, every chaos magician will at least flirt with Buddhism. I think it's a great kind of... at its core, it's a very good system and very realistic and practical in, you know, that the world is the way it is. The reason why we're unhappy is because we want the world to be different. There is a way out of that, and the way out of it is this, which is, that's basically, you know, paraphrase the Four Noble Truths. And so it's rather than just going, oh, world is shit, you're a sinner, as we get from most of the religions going, and here's what you can do. And then follow that path. And then it gets, you know, they love lists. They love kind of making it more complicated than that. And there's various different flavors, like Zen and all these different things. But the Daniel Ingram book is good if you're getting into a very serious contemplative, not necessarily contemplative, but very serious meditation practice, in that it will show you the cosmology and it'll show you the stages and the different things to look out for, what to ignore, what to, you know, look at. With some good, you know, some good commentary and stuff, and there's a bit of anger in there as well, a bit of a pissed offness. And I like Daniel Ingram, but like, I'm firmly at the very, very lower tiers of the meditation cosmology, and so an awful lot of the book, it's kind of irrelevant to me, because you know, I'm like 10 stages. It's not 10 stages in Daniel Ingram's book. It is in the other one, what's that, the mind one. And I'm like, yeah, right, where I am, stage one. And then, you know, you have 300 pages explaining the other ones, and you kind of go, maybe someday it'll be relevant to me. Maybe, I don't know. But buy it, it's a great book. He has it free as an audiobook, and he has the first version of it free as a PDF and a Kindle book on his website. So cool. Another question from Vulcan Buttmeld. How's your search into Buddhist magic coming along? Any one thing about it you find most interesting at the moment? Yeah, that book was kind of a bit of disappointment for me, and it was my own kind of disappointment, my own kind of thing that I put on it. Whereas I was looking for a book about Buddhist magic. This is a book about a Buddhist magic book. Buddhist magic, yeah. So it's talking about that book and what's in it, rather than talking about the magic. And up front, the very first paragraph, it talks about that in the book Jonathan Strange and Mr. Norrell, there's two types of magic books. One is a book of magic and one is a book about magic. And he says this is definitely a book about magic. So while it goes into code, there's, you know, it talks about the manuscripts and all, it just goes, and this contains a spell to you know, cure your dog, but never shows you the spell or talks about the spell. And he makes a point of saying that I'm not going to do that, because number one, I don't think it would work, and number two, it's not part of your lineage, so, you know, it's none of your business, kind of thing, kind of. So yeah, I was a bit disappointed on my, because I expected something else from it that, I suppose, excuse me, I just was uneducated in what the actual book was about. So that's it, sadly. IDCT 321. What do you do to get the energy moving? Not motivation so much as just to get up and go, figuring it out as you go along. A dislike routine, if it feels like one, how would you go about going about it? It's a mundane question, I know, but I'm dealing with many levels. I love routine. That's how I get it. Keep my momentum is routine. So I'm the opposite of you. I find that when I'm not in a routine, I tend to concentrate too much in one area of my life to the detriment of others. So let's say if I'm not in a routine and I don't have it planned out what I'm going to do, or I don't have goals, or I'm not big lofty goals. Like, I mean, I will do a page of art today, even breaking down to I will do some art today. But if I don't do things like that and I don't get into a set routine, a podcast on a Monday, a video on a Thursday, I tend to spend all week doing whatever I'm really into that week. So like, just play piano all week, which is great for my piano end of things, less good for, you know, podcasts, websites, art, magic, reading, all of these other things. Depends what you want to do. If I feel that I'm kind of flagging in a certain area, I'll go to my inspiration things in that area. One of them being, say, what magic and creativity was, I'll watch the Grant Morrison documentary Talking with Gods, or I'll watch, you know, the Alan Moore documentary, The Mindscape of Alan Moore. Or if it's spirituality, or I feel I'm getting a bit lost now, I'll go back to basics and listen to some Stuart Wilde. Or, music-wise, listen to the bands and the people I used to be into years ago. Just try, you know, like, to kind of get to the core of things. And that kind of resets me a bit. or find a new documentary about the area you want to do. But get the energy moving. Is the one really good kind of tip that I found that I find really helpful is go, I will start whatever it is that you're putting off. There's usually one thing that you're putting off, which is making your entire life stagnant. I definitely feel that. And it doesn't have to be connected to, so like, I mean, you could have to tell someone something that you don't want to tell them, and that can be affecting your income, even though it's not related whatsoever. It seems to block the energy, man. But one thing I found about doing the thing that you really don't want to do, say it's like what I was talking about, I was doing my taxes, is rather than going, right, I'll block off 3 hours on Saturday to do it, go, I'll do 5 minutes now and just get it started. Just do 5 minutes, that's it. You can stop after 5 minutes. And what tends to happen is you don't stop after the 5 minutes. It's just the initial push that you need to give yourself, and a smaller bite of the task that you can persuade yourself to do seems to work, because then, you know, you've tricked yourself into going 5 minutes, and once you're in the groove, you kind of end up doing longer. So that works for anything, for drawing, for practicing musical instrument, for probably not works so well for talking to people about things you don't want to do. But you could break it down into little nuggets of truth bombs for them. Gultar, what does your daily practice look like? Today, it looks like, well, it's not daily in, well, there's meditation every day, and I'm doing the Magia fire meditation, the first, the exoteric version of it, because that's what's been prescribed to me, where I'm just looking at this kind of sense of mourning, sadness thing that's here. It's just here in my heart. I'm just looking at it to see what it is. Not trying to fix it, not trying to heal it, not trying to make it worse, make it less, any of those things. Just looking at it, seeing what it is, and seeing, you know, just describing it as is. I do some offerings. I do, at the minute, doing the Days of the Saint. Try to get into a forest at least once a week. This might be my last time, though, because we're going to go into lockdown again here, and it's coming into winter, and it's less inviting in winter, because Ireland gets very cold. But yeah, I used to do a huge, big, long... If you go to the website, there's a daily practice thing up, and it was huge. It was like an hour or something every day. And I just found it useless, because I wasn't doing anything. I wasn't getting... My life wasn't any better out of it, other than I was losing an hour a day of doing all these prayers and adorations and petitions and offerings and all that. Meditate every day. That's it. Do a binding if you're into the Murgia stuff once a week. You know, do some shadow work if you're not. Something, you know, equivalent. Don't get too hang up. I don't do banishings every day. I couldn't tell you the last time I did a banishing, because I consider cleaning a banishing, and I suppose the intention for me is to banish by cleaning, and so I do that, a big sort of clean the office once a week. Have we any more questions? Abraxas, what's your favourite story? Abraxas, this is a great question, because you're obviously not asking me, excuse me, what my favourite film is, what my favourite book is, or what, any of them. What's my favourite story? I've been trying to think about this since you asked me. And why are you being weird? Look at me avoiding answering your question. Is this good content? Sometimes this DJI Osmo Pocket is really good. Sometimes it's really annoying. So what's my favourite story? I don't know. I'm going to have to get back to you on that. Because my favourite film is not my favourite story. Favourite book is probably not my favourite story. I don't know. It's a great question. And one I'm going to have to think about. But genuinely made me think and made me have to pull back and realise that I don't know the answer to that question, which is usually in this kind of age of top 5 movies, top 5 books, top 5 CDs, top 5 albums, whatever it is. Everyone kind of has a vague notion of what that is, and I've literally no idea what the answer to that question is. That's it. That's all the questions. That's half my head cut off for most of the video, it seems. If I come back, see, the problem is I can come back and you can see all of this a bit better, but then I'm further away from the microphone, and if there's any kind of a wind, it wouldn't be as good. I do have the lapel mic that fits the DJI Osmo, but when you can't fit it when it's on the tripod, the spidery spindle tripod. First world problems, eh? So yeah, that's it. There will be a video next week, I think, that I recorded a couple of weeks ago, that I just haven't got around to editing yet, which I kind of in one sense disagree with now a wee bit, but I'm going to put it up anyway so that I can maybe do a video or a bit at the end saying I disagree with it, or another video just giving the opposing side to it. And there's a video going up on Patreon this week, which is kind of a time lapse of some drawing I did for the new comic. The new comic is steadily working away. I'm about 90% done at this point on the first issue. The first issue doubled in size, which is why it's taken longer than expected. And it's been a couple of I really thought I'd get dig into it this week, but I wasn't able to because of things that have just come up as usual that interrupt my pursuit of personally meaningful goals. But yeah, anyway, good people of the internet, may you have a wonderful day and may all your questions be answered. Be well, and may our best days be ahead.